Now, this is a question that's almost redundant. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Great to be with you again today, Barry. I'm not looking forward to discussing this topic because it makes me kind of sick.
Well, it should. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about a lot of things this week, and we've been focusing on gun issues. But we're turning the page here today because we need to focus on another issue. Now, this also involves the United States Senate, but it also hits a little closer to home in more ways than one. This issue involves Ohio's own United States Senator Rob Portman. Rob Portman has been in the news quite a bit lately, going as far back to the fact that he was the Ohio chairman for the Romney-Ryan ticket in Ohio and carried the water for the Romney team and actually was on the short list of those people who were going to be vetted to possibly be on the vice presidential slot in the Republican ticket in the 2012 election. But obviously, Senator Portman didn't get there. And about 3 weeks ago, Chuck, he announced the reason why. Ultimately, he didn't make it on the ticket with the Romney. I think it was only 2 weeks ago. The timing was, well, shall we say, suspicious at best, because what he announced was the fact that one of his adult sons had come out to him and his wife as being homosexual. And so Senator Portman, who historically had promoted himself as a defender of traditional marriage, then decided that after he and his wife talking about it and soul searching and deciding that God loves everybody and why shouldn't his son have the same right to happiness as his siblings would have, who are, by the way, not homosexual as we know so far, that he was changing his position on whether homosexuals should be legally allowed to be married. In other words, he did a complete flip-flop and decided he'd come out in favor of same-sex marriage. Now, the initial response to that was dismay and shock by many social conservatives. And honestly, Chuck, I think that's what Senator Portman wanted, because when they focused specifically just upon his announcement and his family situation, they missed the broader picture. And it's a picture that many in our social conservative friends who are engaged politically seem to miss often.
Very often.
And miss it to their chagrin later on down the road when things happen and they're sitting there scratching their head wondering why they happen, when if they were just paying enough attention early and put the dots together, like we try to do, the puzzle pieces, they would see what was happening behind the scenes and understand, oh, yes, I get it. I understand why you're doing this. All right, now we know what playing field we're on. The social conservatives hardly ever know what playing field they're on when it comes to dealing with things like this Portman issue.
Unfortunately, Barry, they look at politics the same way the world does. They're doing a baptized humanistic look at politics, and that is they take a messianic view of candidates.
Okay, explain that out. Unpack that.
Okay, they look upon a candidate for a given office as the only person who can be there because they're going to save us from these horrible things we're told about. If he's not reelected, this person will get in and this and this and this will happen.
Aha, I see.
In other words, it's boogeyman politics, as Gary DeMar puts it. What that means, or I think Gary North may have coined that phrase. In any case, everything is pointed to as a boogeyman. If we don't get so-and-so elected, then this and this and this will happen because this and this and this person will come in. Well, time and time and time and time and time again, the Messiah has been elected to office, and those things happen anyway. And you have to ask yourself, why? It's because you have to look at it in terms of those issues are being thrown in as an emotional churn. So they churn that emotional bucket, churn it, churn it, churn it, churn it. And so people get focused on that. If you'll look at the last presidential election, Mitt Romney was the very dubious Messiah who was going to save us from the presidency of Barack Obama. The fact that most of Romney's personal platform, not the party platform, which is very different,
yeah, the one that they ignore.
The one that they use to supposed to lure us in to
take the bait. Conservatives,
yeah. The social conservatives. Romney's agenda, pro-gay marriage, anti-gun, pro-abortion, name it on the social conservative scale, and he was on the other side of the coin. Now, why Portman's homosexual son would have been a problem since he'd already come out in favor of traditional marriage? He could have come out and easily said, I'm for traditional marriage despite the fact that my son is a practicing homosexual.
But he didn't do that.
But he didn't do that.
He came out and totally flipped his position. And now we've got the next puzzle piece that we can lay out to everybody, because, you know, you and I could say it until we're blue in the face and they don't get it. They don't pay attention to it. But usually when it's in print, then they start figuring it out. And this comes to us from LifeSiteNews.com, which is a pro-life news blog. And they are pulling their information from an article in Politico. Now, Politico is, as we've talked about on earlier programs, a pretty left-leaning, they say they're middle of the road, but they're fairly left-leaning political blog. But even every once in a while, a blind pig finds an acorn, if you know what I'm saying. And so Politico threw this out here because, obviously, this whole thing with Portman's kind of got him all twisted because he's a conservative who's good on gay rights. Oh, we need to use him as a poster child. Well, wait a minute, he's a Republican. We can't do that. So they're kind of in a quandary. So this is what they said. Their article from Politico was, Republicans see cash opportunity in gay marriage shift. And right there, they put their finger on the pulse of the problem.
Bingo.
And I think that this is the pulse of Rob Portman, because not only was Rob Portman Mitt Romney's Ohio chairman, he is also the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. In other words, the arm that raises money for Senate candidates. And it's just interesting that Rob Portman was on the short list for VP, and he's already starting to make noises about interested in running in 2016 for the big slot for president. So it says here, Portman himself has taken heat from New York donors. Now we're going to stop here, and we're going to back you up a little bit so you remember your history. We've talked about New York donors on this program, specifically one who was the main funder for Paul Ryan and for the Ryan Romney campaign, and who gave $1 million to the Republican Party to hold their convention in 2012. That gentleman's name was Paul Singer. And if you've been with us a while, you know who Paul Singer is. If you're just new to our program, go to our archives at principledpolicy.com and look up our radio programs we did on Paul Singer and gay marriage in the Republican Party. So, Portman has taken heat from these New York donors who believe the party's emphasis on social issues is one of the major reasons for losses this fall. That's it. You abandon the right wing of your base to try to win election, and when you lose, then you blame them. That's the Republican... Yeah,
that's the Republican meme. That's the way they do it.
That's it.
They gave us lousy candidates. We didn't vote for them. And therefore, it's our fault that they lost.
Exactly. Now, this article goes on and says, their views were taken so seriously that Portman, vice chairman of finance for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, held a dozen meetings with big New York donors recently. Now, this came out about a week ago, so this has been in the last few weeks. Coincidentally, right around the time he announced publicly his switch on marriage.
Yes.
In an attempt to assuage their fears about the direction of the party. Now, Ben Johnson at LifeSite News kind of unpacks this a little bit, and he says that it's well known that the party's top donor in 2012, which was Sheldon Adelson, who's a casino guy from out in Nevada, supports redefining marriage. He's a gay marriage supporter. So does Cliff Asness, Lou Eisenberg, and Dan Loeb, all three of whom signed the amicus brief opposing DOMA. Paul Singer, bing, 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 bing,
bing. Yeah, there's the name.
Who gave the GOP $2.9 million in 2012, and New York City mayor and chief nutritionist, Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, has channeled his own vast fortunes to supporting members of either party who support marriage equality. So Paul Singer made it public that that's what he did with his money. He would find Republicans who would be willing to switch on gay marriage, and he would fund them to try to get them, or to try to get people in office who supported homosexual marriage, because his son is also homosexual. If you don't think that Rob Portman's not after a bunch of fat cat Republican cash from these guys who all want to see homosexual marriage, you are living inside a barrel that's already down at the bottom of the hill and taking on water fast.
Yeah, write us a postcard from Fantasyland, because that's where you are if you don't think that's what this is about. Let me ask you a question real quick. There was a name on here. Bloomberg is usually called a quote-unquote independent.
Right.
Where did he come from? What party?
Oh, he's a Republican.
He was a Republican.
Oh, of course.
And he left the party over homosexual marriage. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think that's who he left the party over.
So basically what we've got going on here is that, once again, conservatives are missing the true story by following the red herring that these guys are laying out on the trail. They're throwing these red herrings as they follow this money, because what they have to do is remake the Republican Party into this haven for gambling. Let's not kid ourselves. They want to become the sin party. Sheldon Adelson, you don't think he has anything like a social conservative outlook, do you?
Well, no, I mean, he might be truly, totally libertarian. He might be embracing Ayn Rand as tightly as he could possibly embrace the philosophy.
Exactly. And that is why social conservatives who come down on the faith-based side have to be very careful about making allies of the libertarian side. Because even though we share a lot of common ground in the area of economics, where we don't share common ground is in the area of social policy. Generally, you find out these guys are pro-abortion. I'm more than willing to bet that Sheldon Adelson would be just fine with legalized prostitution.
Well, he lives in Nevada, so he's been around it.
Oh, well, how can you avoid it? But that's the bottom line here. If you can name it, he wants gambling. Now, I don't know how much of a fan he is of expanded gambling, because every time another state expands gambling, it takes a ding out of Atlantic City and Las Vegas and Laughlin and Reno and all those gambling centers. That money's starting to get spread around a little bit, just like it did before, right before we banned it, when it became an open invitation to vice, which is the reason why that and the fact that it created economic disasters for the rest of the country. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, this is an attempt to pull the wool over your eyes about what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. Portman wants to do this song and dance and make you say, oh, it's just about love, and my son just wants to love somebody. Well, fine, love somebody. But why should we destroy an institution defined by God because Rob Portman's son wants to thumb his nose at God? And why should the rest of society pay the price? Because let's face it, let's not walk away from this. The fact is that there are positive and negative sanctions when we choose to obey and disobey God.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact is that we are begging for those negative sanctions now because we are openly embracing something. And there are Christians who are tired of the fight, tired of the constant battles, and don't want to deal with this question. And therefore, they acquiesce and say, you know, maybe we just better give up and give into this thing.
Well, it's interesting, Chuck, because I did a little, while you were talking, I did a little work on this, and I looked up a couple of the names. Dan Loeb, who was a signatory on an amicus brief supporting same-sex marriage in the United States Supreme Court case that Rob Portman publicly came out in favor of gay marriage a week before the cases were heard.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Dan Loeb is worth $1.5 trillion. Okay. Cliff Asness is a board member of the American Enterprise Institute, and he's also Randian. He is a Ayn Rand libertarian, and he set up, he was the managing director and director of quantitative research for Goldman Sachs. Okay, guys, all it takes is just putting together some of the puzzle pieces.
Well, let's remind people that we did some of this same work last summer.
Yes.
When it came out that Paul Ryan's main financier was Paul Singer.
Yep.
And we laid this out. If you go back into our show archives, and I think it was around July or August, I may try to dig them out for us. But the fact is, we exposed this thing back then and said, okay, where's the other shoe going to drop? Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
It's dropping.
It's dropping right now. This is what you get when you don't pay attention and you find yourself seemingly hoodwinked into supporting these people that just don't, there's just some funny smell about it. You don't know what it is. This is what it is.
Yes, it is. Now, Lou Eisenberg, he founded Granite Capital International Group. He is a New York multi-billionaire, and he was also one of those who signed on to the amicus brief supporting gay marriage. It was against California Prop 8. Now, he's also former chairman, a founder and former chairman of the Republican Leadership Council.
Oh, my gosh.
And it has been, in January of 2002, he was the Finance Committee Chairman for the Republican National Committee. Guys, follow the money. You will understand why we're losing our liberties and our biblical foundations if you follow the money, because Scripture is very clear. You cannot love both God and mammon.
And there are other things that we've talked about on here, like the Constitutional Convention attempts and that kind of thing. And something has just recently come to my mind on that, and it's a money issue. Who is supporting these efforts? It's corporate America, who basically sees the opportunity to have the names of their corporations written into the new Constitution.
Oh, of course.
And in fact, their subsidies finally constitutionalized, because they're not constitutional now. Ladies and gentlemen, Barry said it best, follow the money. I'm looking at the clock. We are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.